This is Liz Scafidi from UN News. The arms trade involves almost every country in the world, but more action is needed to consider how the $100 billion a year industry impacts on gender-based violence, the head of a key treaty said on Thursday. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Ambassador Jānis Karklins of Latvia, president of the Fifth Arms Trade Treaty Conference of State Parties, meeting in Geneva next week, explains how, for the first time, the treaty signatories are expected to adopt his recommendation.
Objective of the treaty, you can see it as a trading standard in arms trade, and that is to set up the transparent and coherent arms trade system, where all states parties act according to the same rules of the engagement. And ultimately, the aim is to foster peace and security and reduce human suffering.
Would you say it's been successful in those aims? There's lots of concern about, pick any conflict and diversion of arms, and particularly Yemen, for example. What does the Arms Trade Treaty say about that specifically?
There have been already and will be discussions about different conflict areas and how treaty has contributed to diminishing the availability of arms.
Has it done that in the case of Yemen, for example?
I think you can argue that yes, there has been processes where questions with the arms trade that were arms ultimately went to the conflict in Yemen have been justified.
So how does the Arms Trade Treaty work in practice? What do governments do when they want to sign up to the treaty, and how do they report back to you so you can assess its efficacy?
So there are several mechanisms. First of all, implementation of the treaty is happening at the national level. Each country puts in place the export control system, but that is put in place according to certain rules that are provided by the treaty. So that's the first. Secondly, countries are obliged to report how they implement the treaty on an annual basis. There is a reporting system. There is information exchange system as well, specifically organized in terms of database. And then there is a state-to-state engagement during the conference. All these mechanisms exist within the treaty.
Maybe you could tell me about the gender angle this year. There's a focus on putting gender into the discussions because that doesn't exist at the moment in any arms treaty. Maybe you could give me a bit more detail about how that's going to help the Arms Trade Treaty control arms exports in future.
The Arms Trade Treaty is the first where gender is specifically mentioned in the text of the treaty in the context of risk assessment prior issuing the export license.
The risk assessments which governments have to take before they decide whether they're going to send arms somewhere.
Exactly. And the aim of the draft decision that I put forward is to help states parties to operationalize that provision of the treaty, exchange information practices, and make sure that the gender aspect is systematically looked at during this risk assessment at national level. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is to increase understanding of all those involved in export control system on the gendered impact, because there maybe is a perception that when we're talking about gender, we're talking about exclusively about women, which is not really true, because in armed conflict, men and women, boys and girls, are impacted in a different way, and understand how they are impacted. So that would also help in terms of implementation of the treaty. And then and the third aspect that we're looking at is meaningful participation and equal representation during the conferences or events within the framework of Arms Trade Treaty. And of course, idea would be to bring more women voices in this discussion and also make sure that their voices are heard.
Maybe you could tell me how many countries produce arms and what the value is of the global arms trade.
To my knowledge, the volume of arms trade annually is about $100 billion worldwide, and so it's a big industry.
And the number of players?
Probably a few dozen major players. And as we know, every country imports arms, either for armed forces or for police forces.
The world's biggest arms producers include the United States, which has withdrawn from the treaty. So how does that affect it, or does it affect it at all?
Certainly that is a political setback. The decision of U.S. government not to be bound by the provisions of the treaty, being a signatory of the treaty, is a setback. What impact that will be immediately on the treaty is that U.S. will fall out of the information exchange network, which is a big part of the treaty. In terms of arms export control system, U.S. national export control system is very strong, and there is no any sign that they would depart from existing practice. So in terms of arms export, nothing will change from the US side.
You said that the treaty is there to control exports. So what's the problem? Where are these arms coming from? If they're being exported legally from countries, how is it that arm groups are getting hold of them?
Initially, production and legal export is sort of normal trading practice. Arms is a commodity, if that is done in a legal way. What happened in reality, that because of the lack of control, arms are diverted. And when you look to the criminal world and the armed conflicts, there is plenty of arms that are acquired by parties in conflict in a legal way. And the Arms Trade Treaty, one of the aims of the treaty is to diminish the diversion of arms and getting arms in the wrong hands. And in that respect, more countries we will have in the treaty, better export control systems will be put in place, potentially will diminish diversion of arms and getting arms in the wrong hands.